one of my favorite texts. It's full of great wisdom. And you don't have to watch the daily news for very long before you could safely conclude that the cosmos is in a mess, and it's a nasty and dangerous place. For many of us, for many in the Western world, the myth of progress, whereby our world just gets progressively better and better, thanks to humankind's great knowledge and ability, that myth, for many of us, is no longer viable. So where, then, does a person turn for some hope? How, then, shall we live? I discovered a few weeks ago, when I took some time to read, some reading days, that New Testament scholar Nicholas T. Wright has an answer. Now, it might not be the answer that you think of right off the top of your head. His answer is that our hope comes with Jesus' resurrection. His book is called Surprised by Hope, and I want to share you some of the learnings I gleaned from that, because it made a huge difference to my understanding. So let's go back to the first century when Jesus lived, when he carried out his short ministry of 3 years and then was crucified by the Roman powers of his day. This horrible, ghastly event was the end of the disciples' hope. They had hoped so strongly that Jesus was the Messiah they had been waiting and waiting for. And it was completely impossible to imagine a crucified Messiah. Those two words just didn't go together. But then, and you may remember the story, then over the next few days, the resurrection appearances began to happen. The risen Jesus was encountered in bodily form, even though it seems it was a transformed body. And I say that because you remember how in the first Easter story, when Mary was at the tomb looking for Jesus, when she saw him, she didn't recognize him. Nor did the disciples who that same evening were walking to a village called Emmaus. Something was definitely different. Jesus wasn't a ghost, but he definitely had a transformed and changed body. And ironically, this resurrection of the crucified Jesus made all the difference. Who would have thought it? This resurrection confirmed for the early Christians, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. The first disciples and the group of men and women that had followed Jesus during his ministry of teaching and healing came to understand that although the concept of resurrection was not unheard of in first century Judaism, Jesus' resurrection and his appearance to the disciples changed their understanding dramatically. You see, in the Jewish faith of the day, resurrection was understood to come not immediately following death, but some time later. And in the meantime, while this was waiting to happen, the people who died remained in some other place, in another realm, with God, awaiting what was known as the day of the Lord. And this would come at the end of the age. And then, and not until then, everyone would be raised together, and they would be judged by the God of their faith, the God of their ancestors, a God of creation and justice. More about judgment later. So the group that began to form and grow after Jesus' ascension, who came eventually to be called Christians, understood that Jesus' resurrection was what they called a foretaste, a sneak peek, a preview of what God promises for all creation. In fact, they began to say that God was already beginning the new creation in and through the act of raising Jesus from the dead. It had already begun. Over the centuries since the Gospels were written, beliefs about life after death have changed, and in some instances, it's moved a long way from what the Bible actually says. For example, the Bible rarely speaks of going to heaven when you die. Major forces, such as the writing of Greek philosopher Plato and medieval theology and belief, have distorted the early New Testament writings. That's what Mr. Wright says. Now, today we know that people in our culture have many different ideas about what happens after you die. These range from nothing, that's the end, to beliefs taken from other spiritual traditions, such as reincarnation. But I think it is helpful and important for us to take a look again at Orthodox Christian Bible-based teaching, because it is, as it turns out, a huge source of much-needed hope. And more than that, not only that, but it's an inspiration for our mission as the church, if we're open to it. To put it simply, the early Christians' future hope centered firmly on resurrection. It was a two-step belief. First, there was death and whatever lies immediately beyond it. And second, a new bodily existence in a newly remade world. According to the evidence that we have in the Gospels, the early Christians were unanimous about the centrality of resurrection for their faith. It was a cornerstone. And because they believed that the resurrection had begun with Jesus and would be completed in the great final resurrection on the last day, they believed that God had called them to work in the power of the Spirit to implement the achievements of Jesus and thereby anticipate the final resurrection. They were to work in their personal and their political life through their mission and in personal holiness. I think that we have a choice as to how we understand this life that we've been given. We can dare to hope because in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, God has defeated death. And not only that, but God has also overthrown those whose power over us depends on death. We can dare to hope because with Jesus' resurrection, a new creation has already begun. God is working on it and will bring it to fulfillment in God's own time. We can dare to hope because God has an answer to evil, an answer to the tyrants and the terrorists, the leaders who enact genocide, the cruel and the heartless people. There will be a final judgment. These people will be judged by our God of justice and creation. There must be judgment. The powerful and the unscrupulous do not have the last word. God's judgment of what is good and must be upheld, and what is evil and must be defeated and condemned, is the only alternative to chaos. We can dare to hope that every good and compassionate thing that you and I do today makes a difference in God's new creation. It will not be wasted. It will not be useless or of little value. In the passage from Romans, Paul writes of the redemption of the whole cosmos. We know that the whole creation has been growing as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption into God's family and for the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You see, Paul believed that what God had done for Jesus at Easter, God will do for the whole creation. Paul understands that the world is waiting as if it were standing on tiptoe, so eager for this to happen, for God to do something new and set the cosmos to rights. Creation will be redeemed and renewed as the resurrection life and power sweep through it. Jesus' resurrection from the dead guarantees this. This, friends, is the hope that calls to us, to you and me. This is the hope that promises to sustain us. And it convinces us that as followers of Jesus, we are called and equipped to transform the present in the light of God's glorious future to the extent that it's possible for us to do so. We can choose to trust that nothing we do in the present by the power of the Spirit will be lost or wasted in the future that God has planned. For God is going to redeem and renew creation through human beings, through you and me. Now, this hope is not wishful thinking or mere blind optimism. It's actually a matter of faith, that deep trust that with God, new things are possible, new creation can happen. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's long-promised transformation of the cosmos. Thanks be to God for this astounding gift, for the promise of rescue and recreation for the whole world. The way I see it is that we have a choice. We can live terrified of death, as most of our culture does, or we can live out of the hope that Jesus' resurrection brings. And freed from that fear of death, we can be fully alive, and we can reflect God's powerful, healing, and transformative love to the whole world. May it be so for you and me. Amen.